Today we celebrate the feast day of Mary, the Mother of God. And of course this is very easy for us to say as Catholics. After all, every time we say the Hail Mary, Holy Mary, Mother of God, it's a very easy thing because we're used to it. But there was a time in the church when this wasn't taken for granted. This was the first of four Marian dogmas. I'm not going to get into all of them. But the fact that Mary is the Mother of God, this was a fight that went on with the Nestorians, and I know you really care about this, back in the 300s and 400s. And in 431, there was a Council of Ephesus to put it straight. What it came down to was they said, is Jesus a divine person, a human person, a divine and a human person? How do we talk about him? They had already established that he was God and that he was fully man. But how do we talk about this? And it came down to, at the Council of Ephesus in 431, they said, yes, Jesus is one divine person who takes on both a human and a divine nature. But he's one person. So that when we speak about Jesus, we can speak about him in both his humanity and his divinity as the communication of idioms, which I had to memorize for Sister Sarah's Christology class, goes. The union of the divinity and the humanity in the one person, Jesus, means that the attributes of one nature may be predicated of the person, even when the person is being named with reference to the other nature. I tell you, I worked so hard to memorize that. I promised myself I would never forget. I will be in the nursing home and senile, but I'll still be able to say the communication of idioms. That all being said, what does it mean? It means that we can say, God died. God, the second person of the Trinity, in his humanity, died. But we can say, God died. We can also say that Jesus was omniscient, knew everything, all-knowing. And when it comes down to it, then we say, we look at Mary, and Mary is the mother of Jesus. But Jesus is not broken into two persons. We don't look and say, well, she's the mother of the human person, Jesus, because he's not a human person, he's a divine person. And motherhood is relationship. So Mary is the mother of God. Okay, now that we've moved up to 431, let's move up to 2015. What does this mean for us today? Mary is not just mother of God. But if she gave birth to Jesus, the head, she also gives birth to Jesus, the body. St. Paul tells us that we are the body of Christ. And so she is our mother too. She is queen of the universe. She has been given all authority under heaven. She has been given authority over demons and over angels. But before that, before she is queen, she is mama. She is mother. She holds this relationship with us. And did you know that we are Jesus' gift to his mother? Did you know that you are Jesus' gift to his mother? Some of you right now might be saying, well, that's kind of a shoddy gift. But that's only because we have a bad understanding of who we are. She rejoices that each one of us can be called her child, her son, her daughter. And Mary knows what it means to be mama. She knows what it means to draw us into her heart. After all, she had lots of practice with the incarnation, being mother of Jesus, mother of God. Bishop Sheen often quoted a beautiful poem about Our Lady called Lovely Lady Dressed in Blue. And if I was worth my weight in gold, I'd be able to actually quote this, but I have it on paper because I need to read it. Lovely lady dressed in blue, teach me how to pray. God was just your little boy, tell me what to say. Did you lift him up sometimes gently on your knee? Did you sing to him the way mother does to me? Did you hold his hand at night? Did you ever try telling him stories of the world and, oh, did he cry? Do you really think he cares if I tell him things? Little things that happen, and do angels' wings make a noise? And can he hear me if I speak low? Does he understand me now? Tell me, for you know. Lovely lady dressed in blue, teach me how to pray. God was just your little boy, and you know the way. Our Lady, our Mama, draws us to the heart of Jesus by drawing us to her heart, and she teaches us how to pray. If we go to Our Lady, she will teach us how to pray. We look at her in the Gospel, and she is the image of the church at prayer. She's with the disciples in the upper room between the ascension of Jesus and Pentecost, and she's there praying with them and teaching them about Jesus. And we see through the beginning of the Gospel of Luke how in these major events, like we heard today, Mary keeps all these things, reflecting on them in her heart. She ponders the mysteries of Almighty God. And she can teach us how to ponder those mysteries and let them sink in. How many times have we prayed the rosary? Some of you maybe never, but for many of us, we prayed it over and over and over again. But the mysteries just kind of wash over us. We get lost in them. But Our Lady wants to take us by the hand and draw us deep into those mysteries of Almighty God, of these key moments of Jesus' life, and of the life of the church. She wants to draw us in. And I don't know how many times I've been praying through these mysteries and things that I've reflected on who knows how many times. And then suddenly this insight, this nugget, something I'd never seen before, something I'd never heard before, that suddenly draws me in and says, whoa. That Mary will constantly draw us deeper into the mystery of Jesus, if we allow her to, if we reflect with her, if we ponder on the mysteries of God in our hearts. And this will change us. This will change our lives as we come to meet Jesus and Mary every day. And so let us pray, lovely lady dressed in blue, teach me how to pray.